All right, good morning, everyone. We left off on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Itmar, thank you. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. Yes, 2 lines. Okay, Itmar. There's two settings on the thermostat: meat locker and Gehenna. And those are the All right, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says Itmar Mace Hamutal Bechama. So remember again, we ended up yesterday with the case of the mace. Right, and ultimately the mace was in the sun, how we go ahead and deal with the mukta issues. So mace hamuta b'chamo, if you have a mace, you have a corpse that's sitting in the sun. Rabbi Yehuda bar Shmuel Omer, hof chom mita l'mita. So Rabbi Yehuda says, name is Shmuel, you literally move it from bed to bed. What he's referring to over here is, you would essentially roll the mace. Right, you roll the mace from bed to bed, ultimately transporting it to an area that's out of the sun. Rav Chanina bar Shalmiya mishmei derav Amar maniach alav kikar otinok umetaltalo. Rav Chanina bar Shalmiya said the name of Rav. You would put on top of the corpse a loaf of bread or a tinok or a child umetaltalo, meaning you put on top of the mace something that is not mukta and that would allow you to go ahead and carry the mace. So the Gemara says the following: Heicha diika kikar otinok koli amalo pligi dishari. So when there is a kikar or a tinok, when there is a child or a loaf of bread to place on top of the mace, everyone agrees that you can do that. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Delesle, when there is no loaf or there is no child to use. Mar sover tiltul minatzad shmei tiltul. Mar sover lo shmei tiltul. So the Gemara Rabbah says the fundamental machlokes comes about as a result of tiltul minatzad. Tiltul minatzad literally means carrying from the side. Rashi says kila achayad, right? With a shinui. So the question becomes, what is the status of carrying a mukta item if you're carrying it or if you're moving it with some type of shinui? So one opinion says that's still called the carrying of mukta, and therefore you can't do it. And the other opinion says that's like anything else with a shinui, that's not called the carrying of mukta. Therefore, in the absence of a tinok and a kikar, you could roll the mace, so to speak. You'd push it from mita to mita in order to go ahead and move it into the shade. So the Gemara says, Lema ketanoi, say that this is a machlokes tanoim. What does it say? Ein matzilin es hameis mipnei hadleika. Tanakama says that if there's a fire in the house, you may not save a corpse from the fire. Right? The corpse is mukta. You may not save it from the fire. Rabbi Huda ben Lakish, shamati shematzilin es hameis mipnei hadleika. Rabbi Huda ben Lakish said, I heard that you're permitted to go ahead and save a corpse from a fire. So the Gemara says like this: Hey Chidami, what's the case? If you say that there is a loaf or a child, then my time at the Tanakama. Then why would the Tanakama not let you save the corpse? After all, what can you do? You put the loaf of bread on top of the corpse, right? Therefore, in essence, is remember that's a roundabout way of saying you're moving the loaf of bread. Like that's the escape. Now obviously that's an incredible loophole, and it's an incredible loophole just employed for Kavod HaMeis. We wouldn't do that under normal circumstances. But again, for Kavod HaMeis, Chazal relaxed these standards and said that you could put the loaf of bread. It's as if you're carrying that loaf and shalbalay are just examples of a permitted item. The idea is you'd put a significant permitted item on top of the mace and be able to carry the mace as a result of that. So if we're talking about a case where there's a tinok or a mace, why would the Tanakhama say you can't save the corpse? Idaleka, my time to be Lokish. And if there's no loaf or baby, so then why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish allow you to move the corpse? El alav betiltal minatzad pliye. Rather, it must be that the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is tiltal minatzad. Are you permitted to move the mace with a shinui? Demar sover tiltal minatzad shmei tiltal. Tanakhama holds that even carrying with a shinui or moving the mace with a shinui is still called moving mukta, and therefore you may not do it. Umar sover lo shmei tiltal. And the other opinion holds that no, tiltal minatzad, carrying the mace, carrying mukta with a shinui is not called carrying. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. Dechule ama tiltal minatzad shmei tiltal. Everyone agrees that even moving or carrying mukta in some type of non-normal or shinui fashion is still called the movement of muktzah, and therefore be aser. The hainu time Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. So why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish allow you to save the corpse from the fire? So this is very interesting. The mitoch sha'adam bahul al meso, top of Mandalit, ilo sharis lei asi lechabuye. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is saying something very profound. A person is not going to let the corpse of their loved one go up in flames. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So if a person sees that, they're going to be all upset about the corpse of their loved one. And what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up saving the corpse anyway. This way, Rabbi Yehuda says that ilo sharis asid chabuye. If we don't now, see, here's what's interesting. The concern is that if the fire breaks out, the first reaction when the fire breaks out is what? To put out the fire. So the concern just is that if we don't let them remove the corpse from the home, they may go ahead and actually put out the fire. Now, putting out the fire is a malacha d'oraisa. Carrying out the mace is a malacha d'rabbana, right? This is rabbinic. So Chazal said, we can't put a person in a situation like that where they may feel no choice but to put out the fire. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Chazal suspended the laws of mukta in that situation and allowed the individual to remove the mace from the house. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish lemeis. And said Abasi and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish with the mace, that you would be permitted to go ahead and remove the mace from a home in which there is a fire. Ein ni osin heimenu lefi she'eno min amucham. So going back to the Mishnah for just, if we have time, we'll come back to some of the halacha lemeisa of these sugyas. So if you remember again, the end of the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Beis was that you are not permitted to get any benefits from the oil of the ner, because ein amin amuchan, it's not prepared for use on Shabbos, or to say it perhaps in the negative, it's actually set aside for use as of the ner, and not muchan, not prepared for individual, for personal use. Tan Rabbanan, Moser Hashemin Shebener v'Shebekara Aser v'Rabbi Shimon Matir. It's interestingly enough, the Gemara says like this, what about the left, now let's say after the candle goes out, So what about the remaining shemen that's left in the ner? Can you use that? So Moshe Shemen Shemener, so the Tanakhama says that it's Osir, and Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Motor. So we're going to get more into this actually in the next sugya, but this goes to the fundamental dispute regarding Muktza. Right? Rabbi Shimon is always the one who we say, the Gemara uses the Lashon, which is this interesting Lashon of Lesley Muktza. He doesn't hold of Muktza, which we know is not true. Everybody holds of Muktza. Just Rabbi Shimon has a much more permissive view of Muktza. And therefore, in Rabbi Shimon's view, the only time that the oil is actually prohibited is when the Nair itself is burning. But once the Nair goes out, the Shemen is totally Mutter. Whereas the Tanakhama, who we're going to identify really as Rabbi Huda, holds that no, once an item, Migo this Katsari Ben Ashmashos, once the item was mukta already at Ben Ashmashos, that status stays with it throughout the entire Shabbos and does not change even once the flame goes out. Says the Mishnah. This is a good segue to our Mishnah. Metaltalin ner chadash aval lo yashan. So the halacha is like this. You're permitted to carry a new ner, but not an old ner. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Metaltalin ner chadash she'ino mos. It's not disgusting. V'chazi lishtamushe lahedja shelo dalak bo ner meyom. So we'll say, the definition of a ner chadash means a candle. When you say ner, remember we're talking about, really it's the receptacle that holds the oil as well as the wick. A ner chadash means a receptacle that has never been used. So the idea is, let's work backwards. The idea of a ner yashan is, it's already been used. And the truth is, more often than not, these items were made of earthenware. So once you went ahead and you used it once to kindle something, it got disgusting. So now the Mishnah is going to say the following. You can carry on Shabbos a ner chadash, so this receptacle that has never been used before, avalo yashan, but not a ner yashan. And Rashi says, bayashan, demuktza machmas miyusu. So what's the Mishnah is introducing us to a new category of mukta, called mukta machmas mius. Mukta machmas mius means something is disgusting and therefore set aside for non-use. Mukta machmas is, it's mukta because as a result, by dint of its disgustingness. So therefore the Mishnah says, you can't carry it. Rabbi Shimon says, kol haneros mitaltlin, chutz min aner hadolik b'shabbos. Rabbi Shimon, of course, again disagrees. Rabbi Shimon holds, no, you can carry anything you want. The only ner you can't carry is what? Is the ner that is actually lit. Right? So if the ner is actually lit, that you can't carry. But once it goes out, for that matter, if it was never lit, you can carry any other receptacle. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara. Metaltlin ner chatz. Now the Gemara is going to go through a whole series of shitos in this particular discussion. So Tana Rabbanan, metaltlin ner chadash. Why not?
You can't use it.
Okay.
No, we had it used before, right?
You can use it for other purposes.
You can use the oil for other purposes.
Right? You could use it as a receptacle to go out and carry oil to smear yourself. You could use it as a doorstop. You could use it as a paperweight. You could use it to throw at someone who's driving on Shabbos. You know, these are. You know, you gotta. Yeah, you have to be armed. You have to be armed.
Bookmark this one.
Yeah, bookmark.
11 minutes and 32 seconds.
That was a joke. All right. Says the Gemara. Just a little comic relief. Right. Yeah. Tana Rabbanan. You see me quoted on Vasis Nayas. You know that it's all right. So that says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Netaltle ner chadash aval lo yashan. So now Rosi. Now the Mishnah only quoted two opinions. Now what the Mishnah is going to do is quote a whole number of different opinions regarding this particular subject. So Metaltel Ner Chadash Aval Lo Yashan, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can go ahead and carry a Ner Chadash, but you can't carry a Ner Yashan. These words Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, Kol HaNeros Metaltelin Chutz Min HaNer Shedliku Bo B'Shabbos. Suppose I listen to Rabbi Meir Shidah. Rabbi Meir says you could carry all Neros, except when he says Neros again, he means the receptacles, except for an heir, shedliku bo b'shabbos. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. It's the first Rashi in the Gemara. Chutz min aner shedliku, v'af agav shekava. What Rabbi Meir is saying is, if the ner was lit on Shabbos, even once it goes out, you may not carry it. You may not carry it. Rashi says, v'af agav shekava aser, the islay l'Rabbi Meir muktza machmas iser, v'lesley muktza machmas mius. So Rabbi Meir is going to hold Muktza Machmas Isser. But these are different characters. Muktza Machmas Isser means that it's Muktza because it was Aser. Now what is Rabbi Meir saying? We'll refine the sheet a little bit later. What Rabbi Meir is saying is the status of any Muktza item is determined at the onset of Shabbos, Ben HaShemashos. If it was Muktza Ben HaShemashos, it remains Muktza throughout the entire Shabbos, even if the circumstances or the mitzvahs of the item changed. So for example, according to Rabbi Meir, if you had a ner that was lit at the onset of Shabbos, even once that ner goes out, the ner is still mukta. The ner is still mukta. So Rabbi Shimon says, chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ever holds differently. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the only ner that's asr on Shabbos is what? Is a ner that's currently lit. Look at Rashi. Chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbos. Ba'od shehu dolek aser shemi yechabe haner. And interestingly enough, the reason why according to Rabbi Shimon that ner is muktza is for a real concern that if we allow you to go ahead and move around a lit candle, what may occur? You may come to actually extinguish it. However, kavsa, but according to Rabbi Shimon, once it's extinguished, mutol taltla, then you are permitted to go ahead and move that ner as well. Aval, however, Kos uka'ara of the ashashis, but if you have a cup or a bowl or a ashash, larger bowl, lo yaziza mimkomam, you may not move them from their place. Rashi says over here, ashashis is kos gadol shel zuchuches shekorin lanpa, so some type of lamp. So if you have a kos, a ka'ara, a cup, a bowl or a larger bowl, you may not move them. Now we'll have to see exactly what that means. The Gemara is going to come back to that. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon Omer, listen to this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon goes even farther and he says, "Mistapek min haner hakava, o min hashemen hametavtef, va'afilu b'shah shahaner dolek." Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon actually holds that you are permitted to go ahead and get benefit from the oil of a candle that is, or get benefit from the candle, from the oil that is, from a candle that is flickering out. Even before it actually goes out, if it's on its way out, you're already permitted to get benefits from the oil. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Minaner akava dechivan dechava vaholich lo mechayiv su mishum mechaba." This is a very radical shita. So Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon says that kind of, once it's already on its way out, apparently what really Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon holds is that the Isser of Mechada, the Isser of extinguishing, applies to a stark flame, right? Applies to a flame that is strong. But a flame that is already on its way out, that's already flickering out, that's not subject to the laws of Kibui. And therefore, literally, he even says you're permitted to go ahead and use the oil from that particular flame.
Doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold not care about, you know, what may happen in the future, you know, for the future, like, in, you know, moving the bench? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold that you can do it? So why here would he say that he's scared that you can't even go out?
You're saying, oh, what Rabbi Shimon only holds that a davar she'enu miskaven, right? Ein achinami. But Rabbi Shimon says that you're potter for a davar she'enu miskaven. He doesn't encourage you to engage in a davar she'enu miskaven. Meaning, if you ask Rabbi Shimon, should I move the bench? Rabbi Shimon would say, not if you don't have to. Not if you don't have to. So Pashas, you can reconcile that with here also. He's not saying it's usher to go ahead and do it. He's just saying lemaisa, one should not do that. If you did it, would you be chayiv? Probably not, according to Rabbi Shimon. Amr Abaye, Rabbi Eliezer ber Rabbi Shimon Savalei Kavua Bechada, Upoligalei Bechada. Rabbi Eliezer ber Rabbi Shimon holds like his father in one situation, and argues on his father in another situation. Because remember, Rabosai, Rabbi Shimon is the one who we quoted before as saying that you could go ahead and use whatever you want or move whatever you want on Shabbos, except for a ner that is actually lit. But once it's extinguished, you could move whatever you want. So his son, Rabbi Eliezer, agrees with his father in one case, argues with his father in one case. So how does this work? Sover la kavlo bechado, he agrees with his father in one case, the less le mukta, because like his father, he also doesn't hold a mukta, which also, I remember, we redefined to mean that he also holds of a very permissive form of mukta. Upoligale bechada, and he argues with his father in one case, the ilu avua savar kava in lo kava lo, because remember that Rabbi Shimon only holds that the only time you can move the nair is when it went out, but if it did not go out, you can't move it. The ihu savar, but yet the son Rabbi Eliezer holds a afagav de lo kava, afagav de lo kava. However, the son Rabbi Eliezer holds that halacha lemaisa, even if it did not go out, you're still permitted to go ahead and move it. Fine. Aval. Yeah, it could also be Hilly. It could also be that. Now I think about this more. It could also be that the case of the ner is more comparable to a case of a psik resha than a davar she'eno miskaven, right? Meaning the likelihood that if you move a ner, it's going to go out, is very strong. It's very strong. And remember, only Reb Shimon only allows the davar she'eno miskaven when it's not a psik resha. Mm-hmm. If it's definitely going to occur, so this might be more dome to psik resha, who would say it's asar. That's what I think, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, but I'll check on that. Aval kos u'ka'ara v'ashashis, lo yizizein in komam. But remember, what did the Brisa say before? But if you have a cup, right, a kos, a ka'ara, a bowl, and a shashis, a large bowl, you may not go ahead and move them. Now, both sides, the pashtos, what that seems to be referring to over here is what? Is that if you have one of these large bowls filled with oil and a wick, or wicks, you may not go ahead and move them on Shabbos. Meaning that even Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who is the permissive view, who allows one to go ahead and move a ner, even if it's lit, would not allow one to move these items. So the Gemara says, Maishnohani, was there seen the coast, the karni, ashashas, that you can't move it? Amar Ula, Seifa asso'an l'Rabbi Yehuda. So Ula says that the Seifa reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi will say, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that halacha l'maisa, you can't be metaltal and ner chadash. And therefore, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't move the coast, the car, and the ashashas, because it's just like any used ner that you're not permitted to move. Maskif la marzutra, ihachi my aval. If that's the case, says marzutra, then why did the Braisa have to add in the word aval? Meaning, you must remember, the flow of the Braisa was, it quoted the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you could even benefit from the oil of a ner that's actually lit. No, excuse me, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. The Braisa quotes the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you could move an ner on Shabbos except for a ner that's dolik. He says, Avol, kosu karvashash, lo yizizim kom. But, the kos ashashis and kara, you should not move. So Marzutra says, if that case of kos kara and ashashis is reflective of the view of Rabbi Yehuda, then why is there an aval but after the statement of Rabbi Shimon? Al-Amar Marzutra, Li'olam Rabbi Shimon. Rather, in reality, in fact, that statement is also part of Rabbi Shimon's shita. V'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon b'ner zuta de'date iluya. So when does Rabbi Shimon allow you to go ahead and move a ner after it was extinguished? That's like on a ner that's small. Why? De'date iluya. Because your mind is on it. What does that mean, your mind is on it? Look at Rashi. B'zuta de'date alei mi va'od yom sover she'echala Hashem en ma'er v'shtamish b'ner l'shchiva. Right? So, l'cheshe'yichbe. Right, that ultimately what? Because when you have a nair, you know that the nair only contains a certain amount of oil, and it's going to be extinguished. And you know exactly, you know when it's going to be extinguished. So what happens? Your das from the beginning is that when it's extinguished, I'm going to use this kli for something else. Aval hani dinefishi lo. But the kam dinam nirabosai of the kos, ka'ara, and ashashis is what? They're much larger utensils, that therefore are able to hold a much greater amount of oil, and therefore burn for a much longer duration. Therefore, when you kindle these on Erev Shabbos, it's quite possible that they're going to burn what? Throughout the entire Shabbos, and therefore you have no das to use them. If you have no das to use them, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that what? That even if they go out on Shabbos, it's still nevertheless what? Muktzah and precluded from use. V'hatanya, what we learned. Mosa Hashemin Shebiner V'Shebika'ara Aser. But we learned elsewhere that the leftover oil in the Nair and the Ka'ara is Aser. Rabbi Shimon, Matthew, Rabbi Shimon permits it. So Rabbi say, what's the problem over here? We don't care about the Nair case, but we care about the Ka'ara case. That here the Bryce is quoting a case of Ka'ara, right? And says if there's leftover oil in the Ka'ara, Rabbi Shimon allows the use of it. That contradicts what we just said before. In the Bryce, Rabbi Shimon said, you can't use the Shemin from the Ka'ara. Hasam, Ka'ara dum yedinair. Hachal Ka'ara dum yedikos. Tigmar says, there are different types of Ka'aros. In that Brysa, when it equates Ka'ara and Nair, it's talking about a Ka'ara that's like a Nair. Namely, it holds a small amount of oil. Se'in Achinami, in that case where you know that it's going to go out on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon holds that after it goes out, it's totally permitted for use. As opposed to over here in the Brysa that we quoted earlier in Amud Aleph, it's a Ka'ara that's dumya to Kos. Just like the Kos holds a lot of oil, the Ka'ara holds a lot of oil, therefore you don't know when it's going to be extinguished, and therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, you have no das to use it when you kindle it on Erev Shabbos, and therefore, halach lamaisi, it's precluded from use, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Zera, pamut, shedliku ba b'Shabbos. So what if you have a pamut? So Rashi, what's a pamut? Menorah shel mateches ve'ino me'usa. It is a candle, a nair that's made of metal, and therefore does not become disgusting. So also the only nair that became most, that was muktzah machmos mius, was this earthenware nair, which makes sense because it's pottery. Pottery absorbs. As a metal also absorbs, but not in the same way, right? That the idea is that meaning once you finish burning the oil, you clean it out, then it's totally fine. So what happens if you went ahead, and now Rabbi Zira says, Pamut shedliku ba b'Shabbos. If you went ahead and you lit your metal nair on Shabbos, not obviously, it means before Shabbos. So now the shaila is, let's say once it extinguished, what is the status of the pamut on Shabbos itself? So Gemara says something very interesting. L'divrei ha-matir aser, or l'divrei ha-oser matir. To the one who previously said that it was mutter, over here would say aser. And so the one who previously said it's aser would say that it's mutter. And I will say, what does that mean? So the one who said that the nair, the earthenware nair, was mutter because he didn't hold the muktzah machmas mius, would hold that this case is aser because it's muktzah machmas iser. And the one who held beforehand that it's muktzah machmas mius by the nair would hold that this is mutter. Why? Because it doesn't become maos. Take a look at Rashi. Says Rashi. Now, by the way, the Gemara is presupposing, and we'll disclose that you wouldn't hold of both categories, which of course is not going to be. The Gemara is going to say that's not correct. It doesn't become maos. So because it doesn't become maos, there are those who only prohibited the use of the nair because it was maos.
But you would have, if the person didn't do it because it was dirty, or you would presuppose if you were able to move it, even though it was dirty, there's no other reason not to move it, or you would be able to move it.
No, that's not true. Something could be called. No, that's the point. There's another category. Muktzah, mukmas, makmas, iser. So the havamina is you can. We'll get to it. Correct. You're correct in the end. But the havamina is that you don't have to hold of all these categories. So look at Rashi. Rashi says the following: the divrei hamatir, Rabbi Meir hamatir b'ner yasham. So Rabbi Meir who held, remember Rabbi Meir was in the second line of the Gemara, Rabbi Meir was the one who held that kol aneros madlikin, kol aneros matilin, metaltlin, excuse me, chutz mi aner shedliku b'Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir was the one who held that in general, you could carry all neros. The only ner you can't carry is one that was kindled for Shabbos. Once it was kindled on Shabbos, then aloch laisi becomes muktzah. But assuming it was never kindled, you can carry a ner yashin, you could carry a ner chadash. Why? Because he doesn't hold the muktzah machmas mios. So therefore the Gemara says, so therefore according to Rabbi Meir, for example, Oser, the one who, so Rabbi Meir who is matir by Ner Yashan, Oser, Rashi says, Bahai, the Muktza Machmas Iser, Kediktani Lael, Chutz Minaner Shedliku Babu Shabbos. That according to Rabbi Meir who is matir by Ner Yashan, would say that it's Oser over here, because again, this would be Muktza Machmas Iser. However, the Divrei HaOser, look at the next Rashi, Rabbi Huda HaOser ben Ner Yashan Shalcheres, Hasam Hu Demois, Aval Hochas Shari, Velesli Mukta Machmas Iser. So maybe the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, so this is the Havamina. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds that a Ner Yashan is Mukta. Why? Because it's Mos. But maybe he does not subscribe to the idea of Mukta Machmas Iser. So meaning maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though this metal Ner was lit at the onset of Shabbos, once it, obviously, pretty much everyone agrees that you can't carry it, with the exception of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Everyone agrees you can't carry it when it's lit, but maybe Rabbi Huda would allow you, once it's extinguished, to carry it. Why? Because maybe he doesn't hold Mukta Machmas Iser. He only holds a Mukta Machmas Mios, and the Pamut, which is metal, does not get Mos. So the Gemara says, what's wrong? No, so I'll tell you, it's very. The truth is, they're not married to each other. For the simple reason, Mukta Machmas Isser means that if something was usher at the onset of Shabbos, that Isser continues throughout Shabbos. You don't have to hold that to hold Mukta Machmas Mios. Mukta Machmas Mios means that if a utensil is disgusting, by definition it's set aside for non-use. For the simple reason, by the way, that the disgusting factor doesn't change over the course of Shabbos. It's a constant. As opposed to the Isser factor does change over the course of Shabbos. So the Havamina is, you can hold a Mukta Machmas Mios, but not hold a Mukta Machmas Isser. You're right, Lemaisa will reject this notion, but the Havamina is possible. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Ella, I'm sorry, I lost the place. Lememra, right? Yeah, Lememra. Rabbi Huda Mukta Machmas Mius Islay Mukta Machmas Isra Leslay. Are you suggesting, therefore, which of course the Gemara is suggesting, that Rabbi Huda holds a Mukta Machmas Mius? Michael, this is your problem. But does not hold a Mukta Machmas Isser? Is that really what you're suggesting over here? Vatanya, but we learned. Rabbi Huda Omer Kol Haneros Shamateches Metaltelin Chutz Min Haner Shed Likubo B'Shabbes. But yet Rabbi Huda is on record in this brisa as saying that in general you're permitted to carry any metal lamps, any metal neros on Shabbos, except for one that was kindled on Shabbos. What does that mean? That even after it goes out, you can't carry it. Which means that what? That Rabbi Huda holds of Mukta Machmas Iser. To which the Gemara says, Ela I itmar hachi itmar. You're right. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Yehuda holds both of Mukta Machmas Mios, as well as Mukta Machmas Iser. Ela hachi itmar, Ela I itmar hachi itmar. Rather, if you're going to say something, here's what you have to say. Amr Rabbi Zeira, Pamut Shedliku Alav B'Shabbos. If you went ahead and you lit this metal nair on Shabbos, Divrei HaKol Oser. Everyone agrees that it's Oser. What does it mean, Rabbi Osai? That everyone agrees that if you lit that metal candle Amra, and now it went out, even after it goes out, it's Asr. Why? Mukta Machmas Isser. Rabbi said, the Gemara is now suggesting that everyone agrees with Mukta Machmas Isser. Mukta Machmas Isser essentially means that if an item was Asr for use at the onset of Shabbos, that Asr status remains with it throughout the entire Shabbos. Right? However, Lo Hidliku Alav, but if the metal candle Abro was not lit, then what? Divrei HaKol Mutter. Then everyone agrees that it's Mutter. And I will say that's not going to be so pashut. Not everybody's going to agree with that. But for now, everybody agrees with that. Because the assumption is that, well, if the metal candle Abro wasn't lit, then it's not Mukta Machmas Iser, right? Because there's no Iser involved with it. And it's also not what? It's also not Mukta Machmas Mios. right? It's also not mukta machmas mius. So, okay, so we'll discuss why paperweight is, oh, whenever you do a tochel, mukta, right? Paperweight is always the goal there. Okay, it's paperweight, doorstop. Okay, so everybody would agree that therefore it's mukta because again, it's not mius and it's not iser. So we'll see halacha lemaisa, what do we do with this. But the good news is, we've got, what we've said now essentially is, everyone does hold them. Here's what we know. Everyone holds a mukta machmas iser. Everyone holds of that concept. Now, again, no. Even Rabbi Shimon holds of it. The only shaila is the duration, right? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, correct. So the only shaila is, does mukta machmas iser only apply to the item when the iser is actually present? Or do we say that no, once the iser identity is locked in, that stays throughout Shabbos? That's the kudus ha-machlokes. So everyone will agree that Rabbi Shimon will say, it's only mukta machmas iser when it's aser, meaning when it's lit. Once it goes out, it's mutter. But everyone agrees in concept to that category of mukta, as opposed to mukta machmas nius, where not everybody even agrees to that particular category. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav, mita shiach to lemos. I'm kidding. Right? So mita shiach to lemos. Right? If you have a bed that was set aside for money, right? Asr l'taltala. So we'll say now halacha lemaisa. What's happening over here? Shiach to lemos. Misra bahazmana ba'alma. So it's like, in general, there's an interesting discussion about hazmana milsehi or hazmana lav milsehi. When you go out and you set aside something for a particular purpose, is setting it aside for a particular purpose a binding designation that endows the item with this identity or not? We're not going to get into that now, but the Gemara is just pointing out over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, that amita shiach dalamos. If you have a bed. A bed is usually the wrong word. A couch, right? You have a couch that was set aside that you're gonna keep your money on it. This is your money couch. Everybody should give you a brach. I'll be zochet to a money couch, right? So if you have a couch that you dafka shiyachta lemos, you're going to go ahead and use it for money. Asr l'taltala. You're not permitted to move it on Shabbos. Now I will say the chiddush over here, according to Rashi, is shiyichad lemos. What have you done? The only thing you've done is you've designated it for money, even if what? You have not actually put money on it, but you've designated it. So the Gemara says, "Meisvei, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Amar, metaltelin ner chadash, aval lo yashan." So the Gemara raises a question. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, "You're permitted to go ahead and carry a ner chadash on Shabbos, but not a ner yashan." Then I both say, "What's a ner chadash?" Look at Rashi. Metaltelin ner chadash. V'har Rav Yehuda Kamar the Islam Muktzah. Amalo Mitzvah Basman. Now, also, what's an Ner Chadash? A Ner Chadash is a Ner that has not yet been used. But yet, clearly, it's set aside, for prohibited use. What do you see from here? That setting something aside for a particular use does not endow it with the identity until the first time you use it. That's why on Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're permitted to go ahead and use a Ner Chadash, which has never been used before. So the Gemara says, I'm too excited there. The Gemara says, "Uma ner de lahachi avida kilo hidlik bar shari l'taltula." So the Gemara says like this. Now, when it comes to a ner de lahachi avida means a ner is only constructed for one purpose, and that is kindling a fire. And yet we see that what kilo hidlik shari l'taltula. And yet we see something interesting that as long as you have not yet actually used the ner, then what? It's not endowed with that identity. So they're all the more so mita delav lahachi avida lakol shekain. Then all the more so if you have a mita, a bed, right, that was not made for this particular purpose, all the more so. Now we'll say, what does that mean? What the Gemara is suggesting is the following, that if you have a ner, the ner is only made for one purpose, and that's to kindle a fire. But yet, if you did not use it for that purpose, then what? Then halacha lemaisa. I'm sorry? Well, it's not this, right? It doesn't have the identity of a ner yet, correct? It doesn't have the identity until once you use it. All the more so than what? A couch, right? A couch, which is not made, I mean, yes, it could be used for money, but that's not the primary purpose of it. All the more so it can't be endowed with that identity until it's used the first time. Setting it aside for that use is not enough, and therefore the Gemara is arguing on the point. Therefore, if you have not put money on it, or there's no money actively on it, you should be permitted to go ahead and move it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ela I itmar hachi itmar, you're right. If you want to say something, here's what you have to say. Amorav Yehuda Amorav. Mita shiyachda lemos. If you have a bed that was set aside, you're going to put your money on it. then hiniach aleha mos asur lataltala. If you put your money on it, then it's asur to go ahead and move it. Meaning, what does that mean? That if the money is literally on it, you're not permitted to go ahead and move the bed. Lo hiniach aleha mos, but if you did not put money on it, mutur lataltala. Right? And then halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to go ahead and move it. So we'll say, what's the idea over here? That if you look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi says, hiniach aleha mos, afilu b'chol, hari hoktsa le'isr, v'asra le'taltala, v'afilu nistalku hama'os mi ba'od yom, v'lo dami l'ner shamatechas d'shari d'Rabbi Yehuda d'hasam b'lo yichadu. So also here's what's interesting. So according to what, so the Gemara is suggesting the following, that what Rav would say is like this: if you have a bed that was designated to go ahead and keep money on it, now not just designated, but what? During the week, you put your money on it. Even if now what? Even if now on Shabbos there's no money on it, you still can't move it on Shabbos. Why? Because since it's been used to go ahead and hold your money during the week, it's been endowed with this identity as a money couch, and therefore becoming a money couch makes it muktzah. However, lo yichdo lemos, but if you did not set it aside for money, right? You did not set it aside. It's just stam a couch. You didn't set it aside for any particular purpose. Then yesh aleha mos asur l'taltala. Then if it has money on it, you can't move it. Ein aleha mos mutur l'taltala. But if there was no money on it, then halacha lemaisa, you would be permitted to move it. V'hu shelo hayu aleha bein hashmashos. But all of that is assuming what? That the money was not there bein hashmashos. So I will say, now the Gemara is going to be mechalik like this. Let's work backwards. If it's just stam a couch, that's just set aside for what couches are for sitting. See, if you have money on it on Shabbos, then you can't move it. Then obviously you can't move it. If there's no money on Shabbos, you can move it. If there was money on it on Shabbos at the outset of Shabbos, but then the money was somehow removed, then what? It's still muktzah. Which again, that's not a chiddush over here. That's the general laws of muktzah. Right? The mikol diskatzoi. Once it was muktzah ben hashmashos, that status stays with it the entire time. However, if it was a couch that was set aside for money, now what does that mean? Set aside, not just simply designated, but what? Actually used during the week. Then the Gemara is suggesting over here that even if there's no money on it on Shabbos, that it's still called the money couch, and therefore it's aser. So tomorrow we're going to say, can you use it for something else?
I'm a stranger now. I come in, I see the couch, and I don't know that in your mind it was used for money, so forth, or maybe it had been used during the week, but it's a couch. For me, is it books?
No, it's my, goes by my items. I'm the owner. I go ahead and I designate the identity of the couch. It's the owner of the object that does that sets the identity. Now again, it's books for everybody. Muktzah. And also, I want to point out over here, remember, when we say muktzah is just tiltal, right? You could sit on it, you just can't move it. So meaning it's usable, but it's not usable, but not movable.
If he goes in and moves it, he's not chayav,
right?
Right,
in a chinami, correct. Right, he did. Right, Mr. Martyr walks in, he sees a couch, he thinks it will look better over there, in a chinami, he's not chayav, correct. All right, let's go a little bit vayitra bosa. Who doesn't know?
Yeah, so it's a money couch.
Right, correct. In a chinami. Right, so that would be lo yichado. Correct. All right, so do a little bit vayitra bosa. Amr Ula, Masiv Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer brings up a contradiction. Muchni shala, so Rabosai, muchni shala means if you have a wheel. This is talking about a wheel of a carriage. Not what we think of it, not a baby carriage, not a stroller, right? A carriage, a horse-drawn carriage. So if you have the wheel of a carriage, bizman shehi nishmet, as Rabosai, the Rabosai is going to bring up a couple of interesting halachos. If the wheel is removable, ein chibur la, then it's not considered to be part of the carriage. So again, there are different types of wheels. There are sometimes wheels that are more permanently fixed to the carriage. That's part of the carriage as well. And a wheel that comes off a little bit more easily. I guess you wouldn't want to purchase a carriage like that. Right, you got it on sale. Right? So the idea is it comes off, and there must have been something with the carriage. It comes off easily. So the Gemara says if it comes off easily, if it's removable, it's not considered to be part of the carriage. So what does that mean, Lemaisa? When it's able to come off, it's not considered to be connected to the carriage. So what does that mean? Therefore, it would not be counted along with the carriage. I will say, what does that mean? We actually learned this before, that halacha lemaisa, if an item is of a certain size, actually, if it's the size of the volume to be able to go ahead and carry 40 sa of liquid, right, then halacha lemaisa loses its status as a kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. So, for example, if the carriage is a certain size, together, so you want to, let's say, take it out of the parsha of being a kli, so that it wouldn't be subject to tumah, if the wheel was removable, you would not be able to factor in the size of the wheel to the entire size of the kli. That's in nindedes ima, ve'ena matzeles ima ba'ohel hames. Similarly, if let's say you were going to, if the carriage is a certain size, then the carriage could actually form its own ohel, to the point that if let's say it went over a grave, it could shield the people inside from being mekabel tumah. Under certain circumstances, the wheels could also be counted as part of the size of the wagon. So, however, if the wheel is removable, then halacha lemaisa, the wheel is not counted as part of the wagon. Ve'en gorerin osa b'shabbos. Similarly, you can't drag the wheel on Shabbos. Bizman sheyesh aleha ma'os. When there is money on the wheel itself. Ha. Ein aleha ma'os, sharia, afagav dahavu ale ben ashmashos. Right, but what do we infer from here? That the only time you can't drag the wheel is when there's actual money on it, right? Because then again, the wheel becomes, we'll say, all these situations we didn't get into this, we'll get into this more next week, the concept of buses. Buses means that something is a base. Something is a base for muktzah. So halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says that if the money on the wheel, then the wheel is a base. You can't move it. But the Gemara infers from that, ha ein ma'la mo sharia afagav dehavi aleh ben ashmashos. But what do we see from here? This way the Brisa seems to say is the only time you can't drag the wheel is when the money is actually on the wheel. But if the money was on the wheel, passed in ben ashmashos, but it's no longer here now, then what? Then you could drag the wheel. To which the Gemara says, ahi Rabbi Shimon, the less lay mukta. This reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold the mukta, which remember we said actually means does hold the mukta, but it means according to Rabbi Shimon, once the mukta factor is gone, then the item becomes permitted. The Rav Karabi Yehuda Sirelei. And Rav must hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda. Now I will say again, if the Gemara, now we're going to see the contradiction that's going to come up over here is Rav was the one who held that halacha lemaisa. Well, the Gemara is going to suggest that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore since Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, once the object became aser ben hashmashos, then it remains that way the entire time, which would then work well according to the Mita case as well, because Rav said above that halacha lemaisa, if there was money on the mita at the time of Ben Hashmashos, even if the money was subsequently removed, the mita is still mukta. I will say we'll stop over here.